We're thankful for the presence of everybody here this morning, and we're thankful especially to God for allowing us to be here. I'm always happy to be in the presence of my brothers and sisters in Christ and to have the opportunity to worship God with you. As can be seen on the board, the title of our lesson is A Famine in the Land. Now, famine is something that nobody wants to be a part of. A famine is something that represents desperation, that represents despair. And in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, the prophet of God described a famine in the land of that time. Now, you may notice that I have a website up on the board, astershore.com. This is just a little website I put together. I may do more with it later, but for now, on the front page of this website is just a way to view the scriptures that I am going to use in this lesson. So if you'd like to, normally we don't like to encourage having cell phones out and things like that, but if you have a cell phone or tablet and want to follow along with the verses, they're there for your use, for your assistance. So like I said, Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. The prophet of God said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, that they swear by the sin of Samaria, or they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again." As I said, a famine is something of desperation, and a famine is something of despair. If there's a famine in the land, then it is desperate, and it is despair. And so I would hope that this morning, as we go through this lesson, these few verses that we have selected, that we'll be able to encourage each other to not have a famine in the land of the hearing of the words of God. At this time, we have an opportunity to speak with our God, to pray to Him, to ask petitions, and to thank Him for all that He's done for us. And so while the brother selected leads us, won't you please humble yourself in some manner while we speak to our God in heaven. We want to notice quickly how the famine that we're talking about today is a little bit different. And first of all, I want to say that this lesson is really intended for God's people. I'm not talking about people of the world. You may be a visitor here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. This lesson can pertain to you, but it's not focused to you. The focus of this lesson is on God's people. Just as the prophet talked to those of God's people back in the Old Testament days, this lesson is for God's people. So this famine that we talked about, how is it different today? The scripture we read said that God Himself would send the famine in the land, the famine of hearing His words. Today, if there is a famine, it is not imposed by God. God has provided for a feast, not a famine. If there is a famine today in the people of God, it's self-imposed. If there is a famine today, within us who call ourselves Christians, we have chosen not to feed on the Word of God. What a despairing famine that would be. There's some reasons that we choose sometimes not to feed on the words of God. And I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else in this room. We can notice that there are similar causes for this famine to exist. The first is material luxury. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a land that is so full of plenty in material wealth and possessions and luxuries. We are so privileged to have these things. We are really at ease in Zion. In Amos chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, the prophet spoke about this back in the Old Testament days as well, about the children of Israel. Amos chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, he said, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein." Brothers and sisters, if we build around ourselves material excellencies and material palaces, we better not let these things get in the way of the Word of God. If we do, there will be a famine in our land. Sometimes things happen, we get busy in life, and we forget the Lord our God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, Moses gave a warning. He said, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has brought us out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. He has given us all these privileges, all these blessings. Do we forget the Lord our God? Do we work so hard at keeping these things that we have that we forget His words, His commandments, His statutes, His blessings in our life through His Word? This can happen if we are not careful. In Deuteronomy 8 and chapter 17, maybe we rely on ourselves sometimes a little too much, a part of forgetting God. Moses warned, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." These things that we have, yes, yes, God has let us work. God has let us do our duty to take care of our families. God has let us purchase all these things that we have. Lest we forget Him and say, "Oh God, I'm the one who did all this. I'm the one who was able to get all this." Let's remember that God is the one who allowed this to happen. These material possessions that we have can choke out the life of God, the life of a Christian. In Luke chapter 8, verses 14, Jesus in his parable spoke about that, those seeds which fell among thorns. He said, "Those are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." You see, having all these things brings about a lot of worries and a lot of cares. We have to maintain them. We have to protect them. We have to worry about them. Maybe we could do with less things and more concentration on the true things that God wants us to have. The hearing of His words and obedience to these words. Besides mere material possessions that can stand in the way of God's word, there's moral corruption. We see moral corruption around us in the world daily. As a matter of fact, we probably pay too much attention to it as Christians. The media is just bombarding us with sensationalism day by day by day because that's how they make their money. That's what keeps them in business. But this moral corruption, if we are not careful, can seep into our lives as well. And this can drive us away from God's word. How can it do that? Well, if we are caught up in sin, it causes us shame sometimes as Christians. It causes us to have guilt. And so, contrary to the way it should be, in coming closer to God and closer to His Word, instead, it drives us away from it. It drives us away from our brothers and sisters in Christ, which are there to help us, because we think we're going to be in more shame and we're going to have more guilt. You see, moral corruption in our life as Christians can cause our moral compass that God has laid down for us in His Word to having a hard time finding where to point. In Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, the prophet described these kind of things with the children of Israel. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name." Of course, these things, we think about them and we shudder. We think, how can we treat our fellow man this way? Or we would never act this way against God and do these kind of things. But we are human after all. And so if we stray away from God's word, if there's a famine in our land with God's word, oh, this moral corruption becomes oh so much easier. And we're driven away, further away from God's word. Sometimes this moral corruption can be caused because we rely on the words of men instead of the words of God. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, listen to the power of the Word of God. The writer described, "For the Word of God is quick," that is, it's living. It's not some dull-bladed sword, but it's sharp. It's alive. It's fast. "And powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Woe are we if we think God does not see everything and God does not know everything. Yes, there's shame in our lives that's been in the past. Sometimes we continue to do shameful things. But brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's one thing that I can please, please encourage you to do, in the midst of sin, grow closer to God and His Word, not farther away from it. Don't listen to the words of men who say, "It's okay, it's all right, you can do it, you can keep on doing it, you'll be okay." But listen to God's Word and go away from it. Do the best you can and stay close to the Word of God. Finally, another cause of a famine in this land is that of religious corruption. We have so many religions in this world which can distract us, which can appear to us to have things that are good and worthy. And maybe we think, well, God's worship and living a godly life can be improved if we maybe do some of these things. Do this or that. Our worship to God can be better. Our life to God can be better. Well, again, please let me encourage all of us to not listen to the religions and even those that call themselves churches and Christians who have not become a part of Christ's true body. Please listen to the words of God. Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 10. "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fall, saying, When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day." Don't let these earthly possessions, I pray, stand in the way of our God in His Word. You know, a famine in the land of this kind has similar results to what Amos talked about in his day. He said that the young people shall faint in Amos chapter 8, verse 13. "In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst." What does this mean? You know, young people are full of zeal and energy. They want, when they do something, they want it to do it to the best of their ability. And so we would think that when that translates to doing things for God and being an example like Christ, that they would want to do it to the best of their ability with all their zeal, all their energy, talking to their friends, trying to bring them to church, trying to help them understand God's word and His love for them. But you know what? When there's a famine in the land, they faint. They don't have any direction. They don't have any trust in the Word of God. And so maybe they think, I'll pour my energies into other things. I'll pour my energies into what my friends are doing. And that's a surefire way to lose young people to the world. And so I would encourage all of us to encourage our young people to stay close to God's word. Don't let that be a famine in their land. Our Creator does not lose strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, he said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Those of us, if we are faint, I encourage us, look to God's word and His strength so that we may regain that zeal and that energy. That's not just for young people. That's for all of us. Those who trust in false hopes, Amos talked about, shall fall and not rise. This is a warning to us. Listen what he said to the children of Israel in Amos chapter 8, verse 14. "They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Bathsheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." You see what the people of Israel were doing, where they were saying and putting their trust and hope in things besides God, in other gods, in other peoples, in other ways of worship, in other ways of living. They shall fall and never rise up again. Now, as Christians, as long as we live, we have an opportunity, if we have fallen, to rise again. But none of us knows the day of our departure from this life. And so, I would encourage us again, rely on the Lord, trust in Him, in His ways, in His word, in His commandment. Feed on it. Don't let that be a famine. Let it be a feast in your life. False teaching and living and worship only brings the wrath of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and 16, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people, till there was no remedy." How can we end the famine in our life? We must realize that our soul is more important than everything else. And when I say everything else, I mean everything, everyone, our soul, our own soul is the most important to us. Matthew 16, verse 26, Jesus asked, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world?" Everything in the world. Everyone's his friend. Everyone's his family. He has it all. and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is our soul that expensive to us that there's nothing that we would trade for it? Do we live in that way? Do we feast on God's word because of it? We try so hard to care for our body and make sure that we're presentable. Make sure that we comb our hair just right. Put on makeup if we wear it. Make sure our jewelry, our accessories are arranged. Make sure that our clothing is appropriate for the occasion. Why not our soul? Why not our soul even more? The Bible encourages us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 to desire the word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Yes, as we get on in our life as a Christian, the word we long for becomes more meat than milk. But that desire should never go away. I would encourage us to start, if we are not already, a habit of daily Bible reading. Brothers and sisters, whether it's a verse, a chapter, a book, whatever, start a habit of daily Bible reading. The Bible encourages us, God's Word encourages us to meditate on it as we read. In Psalm 1 and 1, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful." This is all evident, I think, to all of us. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, these are promises from God for those who delight in his law and meditate day and night on his word. Now, not only may I encourage us to, when we read daily, to perhaps set aside a few moments to think about what we've read, but also throughout the day, when we come into certain occasions, some come into certain situations, think on God's word for a few moments. If we're going to participate on something, think about God's word. First, should I really be participating in this? Second, how can I use God's word to be a blessing to those around me that I'm doing this with? So these kind of things help us to meditate day and night. Helps us to help those around us as well. Finally, pray for enlightenment, wisdom, and help to obey his word. In Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, beautiful words. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of the commandment, thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." The psalmist wrote at the end, "Quicken me in thy righteousness." He prayed to his Lord, "I don't want to be dead. I don't want to be unfruitful in this life. I want to be alive in your righteousness, God. I want to live and be a light of your righteousness, God. Not my own, yours." And so I pray that these things can encourage us as people of God to always keep Him in mind. Keep in mind what He's done for us. Keep in mind the promises He's made for us. Keep in mind the words, the feast He has given to us. Never stray away from them. No matter what comes in our life, grow closer to God's word, not away from it. We want to invite and encourage those who are subject to the gospel call at this time to please come forward while we stand and while we sing this song.